Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Yarnings Podcast. I'm Christine, and I'll be your host. This is episode 14. Happy birthday to me. As you can guess from the title, I just had a birthday. And I like to celebrate all of April because April's my birthday month. So it's been a fun last couple of weeks as I did fun things to celebrate, and I shall share some of those with you. So what have you been up to? I do believe it's been a little longer between my podcasts than I planned, and I never ever really want to specify when I have to do it. This last month has been full of colds and allergies and just general problems due to my illnesses. So it just has had me a little bit behind in my whole desk. Everything that I've wanted to do has been a little behind, except for laying in bed and playing Words with Friends and silly things like that. And I have never wanted an iPad more than I do now because it would be so nice to be able to view pages in bed at full screen. We don't have a laptop or anything at our house right now, and so my iPhone is what I've got. And I was sitting there trying to figure out what classes I might want to take at Sock Summit, and it's just so hard to view in a little teeny tiny screen and then try and take notes in another doc, and yeah, I could really use an iPad. So, what have I been doing? This last weekend was my birthday weekend. I got to do some really fun stuff like walk in the sunshine with my husband and get a birthday burger. Birthday burgers, for those of you who don't live near a Red Robin, is Red Robin's way of rewarding you on your birthday. And there's my tip of the week. We'll use Rachel's terminology. My tip of the week is sign up for mailing lists. They might give you something free for your birthday. And you may want to use a different email address than you normally use when you sign up for restaurant mailing lists, just in case something were to happen to their email server and emails get compromised or anything like that. I have an email address that I've used to sign up for everything under the sun for the last, since I've had it. And so I have a pretty stringent spam filter, and it doesn't bother me anymore. I mark things as spam as they come in, and I look through my list every once in a while. But for the most part, I get things that I actually am interested in. And that has definitely been the case over April when people have said, "Hey, we know you have a birthday this month. Let us give you something free. Come and visit us." Things like birthday burgers, free pieces of cake. What else? I don't know. I've just had some really good discounts, and some from local stores too that are not nationwide. So there you go. You should do that. I also went to a big giant birthday party, which was for four of us in our family. We had the two birthdays from March and the two birthdays from April, and we celebrated them at the same time as Easter. Our family is so big now that I kind of have to do some combining. This was the first year we've had that many at one time. So I volunteered to make the cake because then I would have a pick. So I will talk a little more about that in the kitchen section. And then on my actual birthday, we took a trip, my annual birthday extravaganza, which I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years. I have a favorite outdoor mall. It's one of those malls where the stores are connected, but there's no walkways in between them. It's just streets. There's another one down in Southern California that we go to when we visit down there. This one is Bridgeport Village in Tigard, Oregon. And it just has some really fun little places to go. It has good restaurants. It has a big giant container store, which I can walk through there. And even if I only find a $5 plastic container that fits my spindle perfectly, I'm still super happy having been in there. So, it's a fun little place to visit. We got struck by a little bit of rain, but they have umbrellas in Oregon. They just have big bins of umbrellas outside of the store, and you can take them, use them, and set them back down when you get to the next store. I think that's brilliant. What a way to counteract the fact they are in Oregon. And then while we were down there, we went down to Fry's, which is a giant computery, appliancey, everything geeky you could imagine kind of store. I always have to take a close look at TV DVDs. And I looked for TV soundtracks, but I didn't find anything. We got a couple cable adapter things that we needed for our computers and the car. Now I can play shows on my computer and they show up on my TV again. We had that working before, but something changed, so we needed a new adapter to make that work. So we found all the things that we needed there that we'd been making a list of since our last visit. And you should know, Fry's is the place that is right down the street from Dar es Salaam, which is the Moroccan place that I ate at after Oregon Flock and Fiber with my podcasting friends. And so when I'm down there, I have to think of that fun trip. So different from anything I've ever eaten, but it was quite an awesome experience. So, those are some of the fun things that I have done. I would love to hear some of your latest experiences. Please come on over to the Yearnings board in the Ravelry forums and we can chat some more.
What are you yarning today?
For my yarnings, which is anything to do with yarn, like knitting or crocheting or spinning or any of that kind of fun stuff. I have been doing a lot of secret knitting, but in between that, I have finished a few projects I shall talk about. Let's see. I started working on the Kaka-esque socks by Yarnisima at Christmas time. And I got almost on gauge, row stitch gauge, but I was not getting row gauge correctly. And since the ribbing on the sock goes all the way up and connects into the gusset area, row gauge was kind of important. So I kind of set them aside to do some calculating, and they took me a lot longer than I wanted them to. Also, that was complicated because there's a lot of knit through the back loops, and so it certainly was less relaxing knitting. But I finally finished them up once I got past where the heel connected to the leg. Once I got past that, then it was smooth sailing. I knew what my setup pattern was going to be, and where I needed to do the ribs, and where I should do the increases. And I wore them yesterday for the first time, and they fit pretty well. I'm pleased with how they turned out, even though they were so much work, and it took me, what, 4 months of working on them? Oh, goodness. So I decided that my next pair of socks should be something really simple, not like freakishly boring. So I had a copy of Kat Bordy's most recent book. It's not brand new. It's Personal Footprints for Insouciant Sock Knitters. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. It's from 2009 and it's by Kat Bordy. Insouciant, she pronounces it in the beginning notes. Insouciant describes the cheerful feeling you have when nothing is troubling you, for example, as you are knitting a personal footprint sock. I like that. That's kind of neat. And I had looked at this book when it first came out and wasn't sure how I could easily do it on my own and figured at some point I'd probably take a class because I have taken a class from Kat Bordy and she is excellent. I really enjoyed learning from her. But I was just finishing those caca-esque socks, which I called the Christine-esque socks, and I decided I'm going to go ahead and try and figure this out. And this is the book where you actually draw a copy of your foot on a piece of cardboard. And then you make marks of where your heel starts and ends, and where you make increases, and where the legs should start and end. And you basically are making a big tube, connected tube, with only the end of the heel still open. And then you are putting lifelines as you go in where the foot should be. And it looks really funny. And you can't try it on after you've started the heel very easily because there's not a spot for your leg. But all the way through, as you're going along, it's easy to try on. So what do? I get started on it. I don't like the yarn I'm using. Too scratchy, just not making me happy. So I got about halfway through the foot with one sock doing that. And I just decided, okay, I'm going to start again. And I'm going to do one of the patterns that she actually has in the book that looks like it'd be easy enough to do while I'm figuring out my footprint. So I cast on with two socks at a time on two circs, like I normally do, and go along my merry way following the pattern. I just can't seem to half do something. If I'm going to commit to it, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it my normal way. So that actually turned out fine. I got all the way through the foot, doing the lifelines, getting the leg hole set in and everything. And I didn't really have a problem with doing it on two circs, two at a time, until I got to where my yarn overs came to the ends of the cable and I was having to switch back and forth between the top cable and the bottom cable. And that is a pain in the butt and a problem for when you're doing two socks on two circs. So I got as far as I could and finally decided, okay, I'm going to just do one at a time. I put the other sock on other needles and just set it aside. So I have one sock completed and the other sock is close. I have probably another 2-3 inches until I get up to the top. But they are very nice. I am really pleased and they fit really good. Holy cow. It didn't seem like it was going to fit right. And it felt like I was going to need increases on my leg like I normally do. But it just worked out. And so I'm really pleased. I'm definitely going to have to buy this book. This one needs to sit on my bookshelf next to my other Kat Bordy book. And I need to knit more socks using this framework because they really work. And there are an awful lot of different patterns that she has put together in here. So it's not just the simple basic sock. The one that I was doing is the Roman sandal socks. And I'm calling them Romanesca. Not only because of the original name, but my sock yarn is one from Yarn Love, which I got at the first Sock Summit in 2009. The only one so far. And I'd gotten it on a good deal, but it's got silk, it's wool, silk, and bamboo. And so they're very luxurious, and so I kind of hesitated making anything with them. So back to the Romanesca thing, the colorway is Tuscany. So I figured if I was making Roman sandal socks with a yarn colorway called Tuscany, I needed to have the name of my socks be something Italian. So that worked out. So I would highly suggest checking out this book. Take a look at it at your library. See what you think. And I'm sure glad that I took a chance on making these, even though I wasn't sure how it was going to work out. It turned out really good, and I'm very pleased. So, one more time, that was a sock from Personal Footprints for Insouciant Sock Knitters by Kat Bordy, if you'd like to check it out. I've not had a lot of time to spin lately, but I'm still working on my abstract fiber EFL silk. It's 7525 in the colorway Hydrangea, and I almost have 2 ounces of the 8 of this colorway, and then I have another 8 of 2 of the 9s that's very similar. So I'm just continuing on with that. I'm doing it very nice and fine so that I can have probably a 3-ply. And it spins really nice. I just haven't had as much time to devote to it as I would like. That may have been complicated by the fact that I've been sick and just didn't feel like doing anything but playing video games, and it's hard to spin when you're playing video games. Oh dear. So, spinning, still working on it. And like I said in my birthday section, I got a cute screw top plastic container for under $5. It's a 1 liter container, which is just the right width for the bottom of my Turkish spindle. And then fiber around the top of it. It will make a very much more protective thing to put inside of my queen bee bag when I'm going somewhere with my spindle. I've been just really padding a small project bag up with fiber, but this with the hard plastic walls is going to keep it very nice, and it's not too wide to distort my bag to make it stick out or anything. So yay, good purchase.
What's been cooking in Christine's kitchen?
So let me tell you the story of my birthday cake. I volunteered to do the birthday cake for the joint birthday party and Easter, kind of because I wanted a little bit of a say on what flavor. And I didn't want to end up getting assigned with the task of going and buying a really yummy cake for way too much money when I knew that I could make one that would be really delicious for not very much money. And that's one of those things that it's easy for somebody to assign buy a cake, get some ice cream to somebody. But if you plan a little bit in advance, you can sure get a better deal. Cake mixes are actually very easy to doctor up and make them taste good, and they are very cheap, especially if you get them on sale. So what I decided I wanted was I knew that I wanted buttercream, and I thought some chocolate and raspberry would complement that well. So I ended up doing a French vanilla cake with a German chocolate cake, and then slice them in half. So I had 4 layers of chocolate, vanilla, and in between, on top of the chocolate, I put raspberry jam and then whipped chocolate ganache, which was totally a new idea for me. Something that I had read in one of the cake mix doctor books. I don't remember which one. I was flipping through the three that I have. I have chocolate cake mix doctor, the regular one, and then a cupcake one. And it's really easy. You warm up whipping cream. I just use the regular, not heavy. And then you put it in a bowl with chocolate chips and stir it until they are all melted. And then you chill it. And I was kind of on doing it on the fast track where I needed it that morning, so I put it in the freezer for a while until it was a nice consistent temperature, and then you put it back in your mixer bowl and whip it up like you would with whipped cream, and it makes this frothy, rich chocolate ganache. So, I put the raspberry jam and then the ganache in, on top of a chocolate cake, and then the vanilla cake with vanilla bean buttercream, which was just a basic buttercream, but I added vanilla beans, which I wished that I had been able to get fresh vanilla beans, but I couldn't find them at a price that I was willing to pay at the time. They kind of are expensive. We looked for them at World Market, which is one place that you can buy just a couple of them for not too much money, but they don't always have them in stock. So I had an older one, an older vanilla bean, and just did the best I could to get some of the pulp out of that. And it, so it wasn't quite as fresh, but it still did give a nice flavor. So then I put that on top of the white cake and then repeated all those layers. But as I was getting towards the top, the ganache was squeezing out of the cake. And then as I got to the top, I was worried that the lid of my cake carrier was not going to fit on. So I tried it out, and sure enough, it just like suctioned to the top of it as soon as it got anywhere near the top of it. And so I had to pull the top of the cake thing off. And when I did, it kind of ripped a hole in the cake, more like a crevice. So I scooped all the frosting back out, put it back on top. Luckily, it was creamy enough that wasn't, it wasn't like it was fancy frosting that I was messing with, but it kind of looked like a landslide. It looked like a delicious landslide, but kind of like a landslide. So I ended up deciding, okay, I was just gonna say it was a landslide, and I took pieces of the leftover ganache and kind of made them look like balls, like rocks, boulders around the base of the cake. And I took more of the buttercream and drizzled it down the sides like it had erupted down the side of the cake, and there was little bits of raspberries coming out that were red, and oh my goodness. It was delicious though. Oh my goodness. When I cut into it, it looked so pretty inside, even though I had to tell the story to everybody at the gathering that yes, it was intended to be pretty. It just didn't come out the way it was supposed to. Yes, I know it looks like a landslide. And that was kind of sad for my birthday, but it tasted so freaking delicious. So, moral of the story, giant cakes may turn out to look like landslides, but it's not always a bad thing. And you should enjoy your cake, even if it looks funny. Happy birthday to me. So let's see, what else have I been making? I found a recipe for easy dinner rolls that only took an hour, including all the rising time. I'll have to put a link to that. It was a pretty basic recipe, but they turned out really good, and I ended up rolling them in balls instead of putting sections of three balls in a muffin tin because my muffin tins aren't so great. I kind of need one that's not getting rusty around the edges. That's not a problem when you're putting muffin liners, but to put things straight in there, I wasn't so comfy with that. So I took the balls and put them all into a baking dish, all scrunched together, and that worked out really well. Then it's just pull apart bread. And so that was really good. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And the last thing that is on my list is risotto. Risotto is not as hard to make as one might think. I've been doing it since last spring, I think. I was inspired by Sweet Tomatoes Lemon Month, and I found this recipe for a really springy risotto that had peas and shallots in it. And I've tweaked the recipe a little bit to be celery and green onions and peas and lots of lemon juice and lemon zest. And while it does take a bit of babysitting and stirring as you add in hot chicken broth to cook the rice, it really isn't as hard as I always thought it should be. So, if you like rice dishes, which we do, this one even works well as a main dish. I don't make any sides, just usually some sort of bread, or I think we did cornbread this time. But it doesn't have to just be a side dish. It works well as a good vegetarian main dish. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Just what is a crafty biz?
With the last month or so and my illnesses giving me problems, my crafty biz time has been a little more limited. I'm still taking some great marketing related classes from Tara Swiger. And that has been a great thing that I can do even when I'm a little less out of bed. I've been working on some secret projects, and I'm hoping to have a knit along put together soon for you guys. It's been really a joy to be creating again, and I look forward to sharing that with people. I participated in the Craft Social this last month. Craft Social is a hashtag that is used once a month. That's put together by a couple ladies, Sister Diane and Penguin Tracks. I'll link to their site for Craft Social that tells about the announcements of when it's going to be. But basically, it's a Twitter chat where everybody can follow along with the hashtag that's being tweeted and participate in discussions about whatever the specific topic is. This next month is going to be on May 17th, and the topics are going to be how has the internet affected your crafting and how did your craft career begin? And it's just a great session where you can listen to other people's stories and share a little bit or a lot. And it's been a really great way to meet people. I have met some really interesting people on Twitter this way. And I always use a tweet chat screen so that I can just filter to everybody who is tweeting for that, where it doesn't have to just be people that I know. It can be everyone who's talking about it. And that works really well for any time there's a chat going on to use the tweet chat and type in your hashtag. And as you're scrolling up and down, it pauses, refreshing. Or if you're at the top, it refreshes for you. So I'll link to that in the show notes too, so that if you ever have an event where you're getting to use a chat with a hashtag, you can use that tool too.
Here I go, geeking out again.
I love being a geek, and it makes me feel really good to be a geek when I read Wil Wheaton's blog. He wrote a post just recently called, "It's like winning the actor lottery." And he talks about spending time with Felicia Day, and it just makes me smile. I'm so happy to hear somebody who is so in love with their geeky acting job that they express that on their blog. He does such a good job of blogging his experiences. If you haven't seen his blog, it's willwheaton.typepad.com. Will Wheaton is WILWHEATON, and I'll link to that in the show notes. He also tweets often, and he acts on a lot of shows that I watch, so the things that he's done in the last not too long ago are things that I have gotten to appreciate from his tweets and his blog. And of course, for those of you who don't know, he was Wesley Crusher on Star Trek: The Next Generation. And I am of the correct age to have possibly crushed on Wesley Crusher. let's see. I've been watching Dollhouse. We are finishing up the show. We are almost done. It has been so nice to rewatch this show. Oh. What else? I just finished watching V this afternoon, the second season. Don't know if there's going to be a third yet, but I had had all of the second season waiting on my TiVo. I just hadn't gotten a chance to get caught up this year, and it's not a show that Eric will watch with me, so finding t I tend to find time when he is out playing board games to watch some of these shows that he would otherwise not appreciate. And that was I really enjoy the storyline of V. There, I can see why Eric isn't as excited about it. It may be a little less sci-fi and a little more, I don't know, soapy. But I really like the actors, and so it's a fun show. And there's lots of good guest stars that pop up in it too. So that's been fun. Next up on our queue is the rest of Eureka and Journeyman, which was a show a couple years ago, I think 2007, that didn't last very long, but I loved it. And Hulu finally has it up available. So, yay for Hulu. Yay for getting to watch Journeyman again. That'll be fun. I also did something geeky again this year. A couple years ago, I did this as well, where I made a playlist for my birthday trip. I put together some of my favorite songs and some new tracks that I'd bought with a gift card from Christmas that had been sitting around waiting for me to use it. I kept saying, "Eric, you should buy something with this, and then I'll buy something with the rest." And that just hadn't happened. So I finally decided I'm just gonna buy birthday music for it. So I put together a playlist starting with Republica's Ready to Go, because that is always a good first song on a leave the house trip. And then I actually put the tracks that I had picked in order. Some of my friend Jen's Glee music was part of the mix, as well as these new tracks, and then some of my favorites. I will put a link to my blog post with my playlist, so you can see my silly geekiness and how I chose to put things together. It was fun.
Have you giggled today?
Don't forget, being pretty shouldn't hurt. I tried a new hair dye for my all-over color this time because I had a coupon. And because it was Clairol, and I've trusted Clairol in the past, the new hair dye was Nice and Easy Color Blend Foam. And it's a whole new technology of hair dye where it sticks into your hair better because it foams or something. And I had been seeing people talk about it. And so, since I had a coupon and since it was on sale at Safeway, it was a considerably better deal than what I normally get. And I should have known when I opened it and it smelled really, really strong, and I had to leave the bathroom because it smelled that bad. That should have been a sign. I put it on, it wasn't too bad. It was a gigantic mess. But after not very long, it started to sting my scalp. And I left it on just a little bit longer to try and get full coverage, and I really shouldn't have. Don't do that. Do not follow my example. That is totally not a good idea. And it's not like I had my hair fall out over it or anything, but I would not use this product in the future because it was not a very happy experience. And now, several weeks later, the ends of my hair are much darker than the roots of my hair, like way more than any other hair dye. So I'm just kind of annoyed with myself that I let that stay on as long as I did and that it didn't work out as well as it should. And now I'm gonna have to find some way to try and get my hair back to a better color. It's not bad. I don't know if anybody else notices. I'll have to ask my friends at knitting and see if they can tell that the ends are darker. But I'm getting ready to go on a trip to California where there will probably be some family pictures taken. I really don't want to ruin the family pictures. I know that's terrible, but my pink hair is just fine. I had no problems with that. That I just keep doing the same spot. I've just been laying off of the bleaching every few times so that my hair has a chance to be normal and all that, and then just the ends are pink. I'll probably bleach the roots a little bit next time. But the color that I've been doing for the pink has been really good. I'm very happy with the new color change that I made for that. It's the same Manic Panic product. It was just a different pink than the pinky red I was doing before. So that's the story of my hair dye. What else have I been doing, girly? Oh, I found a shirt that is a purple tank with purple sequins in a very nice pattern all over that I had seen when it was just brand new in the store. And I just could not seem to justify the price that they were wanting to charge for it. But when I went back in last month or whenever it was 50% off. So what fun is a sparkly purple shirt? I was very excited about that, and I wore it to knitting the other night underneath something else because it's still not quite the right weather for sequins tanks. But I will definitely be wearing that some more because that's totally awesome in me. I love that the sun is coming out more now and I can start wearing some of my other clothes. I will have to see which ones fit me well because I've lost weight since last summer, which is a good problem to have, but I need to see how my wardrobe's going to go through the summer without having to buy too much or anything on our budget. So, yay for being a girly girl! I certainly got lovely messages on my birthday, and it really hit home how many people are genuinely kind in the world. Very, very thoughtful people love me. I am very blessed. Thank you. Upcoming happy things for upcoming months. I've got a family trip coming up, and then Black Sheep Gathering in Eugene, Oregon, and Sock Summit close behind. So, yay, I am going to be a happy girl. I am looking forward to all of those things so very much.
Next time on the Yarnings Podcast.
And I think that's where we will end our podcast for the day. I want to thank you all for listening. I appreciate you coming back or joining me for the very first time. You're awesome, you know? So you can find out all of the notes from today's podcast on yarningspodcast.com. There's a link there in the sidebar to the Ravelry forums where we have some little discussions about the episodes. There's also a link there for you to subscribe in iTunes. If you'd like to follow me around, I am Christine with a K on Ravelry and KDLB, just the letters, on Twitter. I tweet an awful lot, so I would love to have some chats with you there if you would like to follow me. And I think that will do us until next time. Have a great week. And that's the story. One of these days, I'll tell you why. And that's the story. Bye.